Okay, so we're holding about the middle of the narrow lines on your bays on the days, lines against a Libra. Okay, we discussed yesterday, our Mishnah had mentioned two things. One is there's no difference between, the only difference between a Kohen Gadol who was anointed with Shemen HaMishcha and one that was appointed by having him wear seven clothes and the Rubber with eight clothes and the Rubber with Gadim. The only difference between them is only the first kind brings this power for his chet. The other kind, the Rubber with Gadim, just brings a regular person's carbon. Then we continued, there's no difference between a Kohen who's currently serving in office and one who was serving and now has been removed from office because he was only serving temporarily, except that only the currently serving one brings the power on him kippur and the astira seicha, the daily mincha of the Kohen Gadol. So we started discussing who is our Mishnah like. You said the first part.
It's mostly the power.
Well, you know, it's a power. One is a power of the Helam Dover and the other is power of Yemek Purim. But yeah. Anyway. Hello. What? Yeah, we just started saying the first half. The job is summarizing where we're holding. So we're holding on good days on the days up in the middle of a narrow line. The line is in Zaliba. Okay, so we were discussing the question of who is our Mishnah like. On the one hand, the first part of the Mishnah that mentions that the Kohen Gadol Merubah B'Gadim does not bring the power, that only works out according to Chachamim. Rav Meir would disagree with that. On the other hand, the second part where we said Rav Meir would say that he does, that the Merubah B'Gadim also brings it. Because he's Marva over there from Makoyan or whatever. In that volume, you have a Zara and Horius and Adius, so it's a little troublesome to find the right place. Yeah. So then we discussed, though, the second part of the Mishnah, though, seems to go like Rav Meir, because Rav Meir is the one who says that when you have like that, a Kohen Gadol who temporarily served in office and now is out of office, that he still has most of the dinim of the Kohen Gadol, except for the Power Yemek Purim and Asir Seicha. So therefore, who is the Mishnah like? One part of it is like Rav Meir and one part is like the Chachamim. So we said, Rav Chisda says, yeah, it happens. The first part is like the Chachamim, and the second part is like Rav Meir. Rav Chisda says, yeah, it happens. And Rabbi Yosef says somewhat differently that what it is that that Rebbe himself composed this Mishnah and he picked the opinions of it. He chose to follow a mayor in one area in one part. He chose to follow the Chachamim in one part and the mayor in the other part.
So why he put first the mayor and then
the Chachamim? No, he put first the Chachamim. It happened the first din in the Mishnah. He agreed with the Chachamim. The second one, he agreed with the mayor. Actually, the choice for Sarosh says slightly differently. It's not even necessarily that he agreed It's not so much that he agreed in the first part with the Chachamim. He may have agreed with the mayor on the actual din in the first part, but he wanted to have two clauses in the Mishnah. We have Ein Bein. There's no difference between this and that. If it had been, if he had gone according to the mayor in the first part about the Kohen Moshuach versus the Merubah B'Gadim, there wouldn't be an Ein Bein over there. You couldn't say there's no difference between them except. We'll formulate the Mishnah in that way. There's no difference between A and B except this. So therefore, he was forced to go in the first part according to Chachamim. All right. So now a third answer, Rava Amar, Rav Shimon. Rava says you don't need any of that. You can say our Mishnah goes like Rav Shimon. The Savalakra Meir Bachada or Polygale Bachada. Namely, we can say Rav Shimon agrees with Rav Meir in one area, that the second part, that the Kohen Sha'avar, the Kohen who's now out of office, still has most of the mitzvahs of a Kohen Gadol. He still has to not marry, he's got to marry a Psula, not marry an Amana, etc. Or Polygale Bachada, but then he disagrees with him on one thing, where Rav Meir says that either kind of Kohen Gadol brings a power helem. And Rav Shimon says that no, only, and Rav Shimon says that Bechlal, and Rav Shimon says that no, only, that only, only a Kohen Gadol Moshuach, like the rest of Chachamim say, brings it. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, and we'll see at the end of the Braisa how we know that it goes according to Rav Shimon, because it doesn't say so in so many words, but we learn in a Braisa, Dvorim Shimon Kohen Gadol or Kohen Hedit Elohim, what are the actual differences between a Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Hedit? Number one, Parabakal. Only the Kohen Gadol brings the power for the mitzvahs that he violated. Or power Yom Kippurim, only the Kohen Gadol brings the power in Yom Kippur. Vasir Seifa, only the Kohen Gadol brings the pence of Eifa. Vole Perea, and also a Kohen Gadol does not, as we said in the Mishnah, does not let his hair grow long after a mess died. As a matter of fact, we learned that Hedrin gets a haircut every Friday. Vole Perem, and if a relative of his passes away, he doesn't tear his clothes. unlike a Kohen Gadol.
Are you in Korea the same?
What?
Are you in Korea the same?
We'll see soon, actually. There is a certain kind of Kriya that he does. Purim literally means like he'd be tearing them to pieces, but we'll see soon, yeah. Aval Purim Milamata, however, yeah, now we're saying, however, he does do Purim from underneath, and we'll see soon what underneath, we'll discuss soon what underneath means. Hedyot Milamayla, Kohen Hedyot does it on the top, on the top of the garment. So we'll see soon. We're going to have Rav and Shmuel disagree what Milamata and Milamayla mean. But Milamayla, the pashtus means at the edge of the, garment, like people normally do when they take a kriya. So what does Milamata mean? So we'll discuss that. That's what we'll have to figure out. The in Metamel Kriyim, also a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to become Tomei when any of his close relatives die. This week's parasha actually mentions that. Umuzer Alam Sula, a Kohen Gadol is told he has a mitzvah that day to marry a Sula, but also Balmana. He's not allowed to marry or to have relations with an Almana. Umachzer Zereteach, only a Kohen Gadol when he dies causes that a Zereteach will return from an Eir Miklat. Umachzer Oinin, he's the only one who can bring a korban when he's an Oinin, also in this week's parasha.
So he passes away, let's say, 1 year after the crime.
I don't get it.
After the person dies.
Yes, it means that person goes free from the Eir Miklat after a year. We learned about it a good deal in Makkos. If I remember
correctly.
Yeah, it was a disaster, right? That's why their mothers were trying to drill them, used to supply them food. But Bechlal also, as somebody says, that might be Rabbeinu Bechaya, I don't remember. But the verdict is, okay, we know only a Reseach B'Shoyeh goes to the Eir Miklat, and we discussed in Makkos what exactly the definition of We discussed in Makkos exactly what the definition of shogig is. Not onus on the one hand, but not total amazing on the other. But even within shogig itself, you still have, there can be different gradations, there can still be different degrees in shogig. Who's going to know? A Beis Din can't possibly know, because a Beis Din doesn't know what state a person's heart. Only Hashem knows. So therefore, Hashem arranges it that the crime should take place at an appropriate time relative to when the Kohen Gadol died. If Hashem knows that this person was really truly shogig and had no bad intent and it's not onus, fine, it is shogig, they do have to go to the Eir Miklat, but then Hashem will arrange, this person only needs a small kapara, so fine, he'll arrange that it happens a year before the Kohen Gadol died. On the other hand, if Hashem decides this person needs a major kapara, there was a certain degree of carelessness there, not enough to be kodesh amazing, but still, Hashem will arrange that he goes to the Eir Miklat 25, 30, 50 years before the Kohen Gadol dies. But therefore, so it's all arranged however it's appropriate.
So why? Because the Kohen Gadol is the one who's supposed to
daven. The Gemara mentions that over there. Yeah, the Kohen Gadol is the one who's supposed to daven. Well, that such things shouldn't happen, and therefore he's held responsible to a certain extent.
Fine. But let's say the theory is beautiful on paper, but let's say you have two people who are killed. One needs a major kapara, and the other one needs a small kapara.
Hashem will arrange it. Let's say that one of them takes place a year before the Kohen Gadol dies, and the other one takes place, let's say, a year and a half later, after a new Kohen Gadol is appointed, and the new Kohen Gadol can be in office 50 years. Maybe there's a kol yachol,
So then
there's bechira, whether the person has bechira, whether to be careless or not, whether to be that shogig. But when it's going to happen, when it's going to happen, okay. It's on Hashem's timetable. All right, let's go on. Omakruv Oinen, a Kohen Gadol, as we say in this week's parasha, is unique in that he can bring korbanos when he's an Oinen, after the close relative of his died. The Einen Oichel, however, also, like it says in this week's parasha, the discussion between Aaron and Moshe, even the Kohen Gadol doesn't eat from korbanos when he's an Oinen. That's the whole thing why they bring the korban. Also the Kohen Gadol, when he's an Oinen, does not get a portion of the korbanos. We don't say, okay, we'll give him a portion during the day, and in the evening after he's an Oinen, he can eat it. Makru chelik barosh, the Kohen Gadol only is able to bring a part of the korban at the beginning, meaning everybody else, if they want to have a turn bringing one of the korbanos, then there has to be a pious, they go around and count the fingers in order to determine who gets what avodah. The Kohen Gadol doesn't have any of that. Anytime he decides, I want to do a certain avodah, he can go do it. That's Makru chelik barosh. The Notel chelik barosh, and he also gets a portion first. Even if he wasn't involved in bringing a particular korban, he gets first cut at what they're giving out of the korban. Yes, always. And in fact, for example, also with the weekly lechem upon him, the Kohen Gadol gets half of them. Yeah. Okay. Well, Meshamash B'Shmona Kelim, also the Kohen Gadol, unlike the Kohen Gadol. I guess only if he wants. I don't know. Umashamish Vishmona Kalim, he serves with 8 clothes, unlike the Kohen Hadiyot, it's 4. The whole avodah of Yom Kippur is kosher only if it was done by him. or potter of from a superficial culture, and the bride continues, the Kohen Gadol is potter if he mistakenly went into the mikveh while he was tamei, or he mistakenly ate kosher while he was tamei, is potter from a korban. And the Bechola Noigim, the Merubah B'Gadim, now most of these rules apply also to the Kohen who was Merubah B'Gadim, the one who was appointed by having him wear the clothes of the Kohen Gadol, chutz mipara bar kol mitzvah, except for the par, as we said in our Mishnah, that only the Kohen Mashuach brings it, which means they didn't bring it anymore after Yoshiyahu's time, because the Shevet HaMishkel was hidden away. Bechola Noigim, the Mashiach Sha'avar, also all these dinim apply to a Kohen Mashiach who left office. Again, as our Mishnah said, except that the Kohen Sha'avar doesn't bring the power of Yom Kippur, and he doesn't bring the Asir Sefer every day, the Kohen Mincha, the Kohen Gadol, the Mincha Kavitin. Makolana in Noigin Mashuach Mochama, and now on the other hand, none of these dinim apply to the Mashuach Mochama, the one who's anointed to make the announcement during wartime, and we'll learn it later during Kspira. Chut Mehei Dvarim Hamur of Parasha, except for the five things that it says in the Parasha regarding the Kohen Gadol, namely, like Perea v'Loi Purim. Namely, he doesn't grow his hair long or tear his clothes for a mess. The Ainim Kamal of Purim, he doesn't. The Kohen Mashuach Muhammad doesn't either, like the Kohen Gadol, become Tamei for his relatives. Or Mozer Alav Sula, he's told specifically to marry a Sula, but also Ba'almana. Also, he's also to marry an Almana. Or Machzer and a sixth one, or Machzer Seiteach Divir Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says also when Mashuach Muhammad dies, he causes the Reteach to be able to leave the Yomikot. But Chamim Ainim Machzer, the Chamim say no. So that's the Braisa. So now, Rava is saying that Braisa goes like Rav Shimon, and therefore we can, and it lists, like in our Mishnah, it says that the Kohen, it says the two things that it said in our Mishnah. On the one hand, that the Kohen Merubah B'Gadim does not bring the power. On the other hand, that the Kohen Sha'avar doesn't bring the power Yom Kippurim or the Asir Se'efa, but other than that, he's the same. So that fits with our Braisa. So behind me, my Rav Shimon, how do you know this Braisa goes according to Rav Shimon? Amar Apata, Man Shamat Leidah Amar Potter, Tumas Mikdash V'Kadsho. Well, which Tana do you find that says that the Kohen Gadol B'chla would be Potter for Tumas Mikdash V'Kadsho? That would be Rav Shimon. We had the other day in a Mishnah where Rav Shimon said that the Kohen Gadol is Potter for Tumas Mikdash V'Kadsho, because you learn from a pasuk over there that only a person where there doesn't need to be, only a person whose korban is the equivalent, is the same as anybody else's, is chayav tumas mikdash v'kadsho. A Kohen Gadol has a different korban, therefore he has a different dinim. Rav Shimon says that, but Chachamim disagree with him. So if our Mishnah is saying that the Kohen Gadol is possible for tumas mikdash v'kadsho, that must be because Bryce said that. That has to be according to Rav Shimon. There you go. That's what Rav Shimon, therefore you, there you go. So Rav Shimon can be the author of our Mishnah. Okay.
So we're not saying that one part is from one.
So we don't have to say that. What do you want to say, which is an unusual thing to say, that one part is according to the Chacham and another part according to the Meir, we can more easily make it work according to one time.
What did you mention if you like before that? Because the oil wasn't available.
So we talked about before on your Beis Amud Aleph that says at the top that Yoshiyahu hid away the Orin and also the Shemana Mishka. So from then on, from Yoshiyahu's time, 36 years before the Korban Vice Rishon, there was no more Shemana Mishka available. Therefore, from then on, the Kohen and Golem are not a Kohen Mashiach anymore. They're appointed by, you have them wear the eight clothes of the Kohen and Gadol and do the Avodah.
Because I'm missing that
No, there's no chassar in the avodah, but we're saying they don't, according to everybody else except the mayor, he doesn't bring a parabah kol mitzvahs anymore. If he does an avera that makes him chayav achatas, which where we were saying all this time that he brings a par, he doesn't. He just brings a regular person chatas. All right. Let me say,
why does the Kohen Yochanan is a special kind? Why the Kohen Gadol doesn't do that?
The Kohen Gadol himself is busy in the Beis Mikdash. So Kohen Mashuach Mochama, he's appointed to make... Okay, but it's important, but they're different roles. They're different roles. The Kohen Gadol has the role of being Mechaper for the Jewish people. The Mashuach Mochama has the job of making the announcements. Whoever's afraid should leave, be strong against your enemies, Shema Yisrael, Atham, Kreid, Mayim, whatever. It's different roles. Okay. But now, Chutz Mehei Dvarim Hamurim B'Parsha, so we said that a Kohen Mashuach Mochama, we said in this Braisa, is not like a Kohen Gadol in most ways. For example, he can't do the Avodah Yom Kippur, except for five things that it says in the Parsha. So Menonimili, where do we know that from? That those five things apply to the Kohen Mashiach, to the Mashuach Mochama, but not the other things. the Tana Rabbanan like this. We learn it a bright. So it says in the pasuk in Emor, "V'hakoyin agadol me'achav." The pasuk says, "And the koyin who is greater than his brothers," meaning the bright interjects, "that koyin gadol." I mean the actual koyin gadol. When it continues, "Asher yutzak al reishu shemen amishcha," it says that the anointing, that the shemen amishcha was poured on his head, "zemashuach mochama." That comes to include also the mashuach mochama. He's also anointed with oil. And umileh yadu lovishas abgadim. But the pasuk continues that his hand was filled, meaning that he was inaugurated. Rashi, in a few places, explains that umileh yadu is an expression meaning like to inaugurate somebody into office, like symbolically you put something in his hand, and therefore that gives him a new position. And Rashi mentions, by the way, in his time there was a lahavdil that a similar kind of thing when they're investing, let's say a knight or somebody in office, they'd put a glove in his hand, and that would be symbolically like now he has that new position.
His hand in power.
Right, exactly. To lubishas abgadim, to wear the clothes, the Braita says, zem merub abgadim. This refers to the kohen gadol who was merub abgadim, who wasn't anointed with Shemana Mishra. And the pasuk continues, our kulan hu aimer, regarding all of them, the pasuk continues, roisha le yifro, abgadim le yifren. He doesn't grow, he can't grow his hair long, he can't tear his clothes. Ba'alkom nafshis meis bo yava, and he can't come in a place where there are any dead bodies, even as the pasuk continues to his relatives. So far, that's three things that we see that apply to all three of them: the Kohen Mashuach, the Kohen Gadol who has anointed, who has been anointed, the Kohen Mashuach Mohammed, and the Kohen Gadol Merubu Gadim. Right, so that's three out of the five. Yochu Yukulim Makriven Oynim. On the other hand, you would think that maybe all three of those types should be able to bring a korban when they're Oynim. No, Talmud Loima. Therefore, the pasuk continues: Kinezer Shemen Mishpat Alekav Olav. The pasuk continues that the holy anointing oil of Shem is on him. So the word olav is a mute, olav v'loyach haveri. It means only on him, not on somebody else. So even though there are two types of people who are anointed, the Kohen Gadol before Yeshua's time, and the Kohen Mashuach Mochama also before Yeshua's time, only one of them has the din that he can be makruvayim, namely the Kohen Gadol. Okay, continues the Braisa. Well, then now the Pasuk is making a division. Now that the Pasuk is saying that there's a difference between the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Mashuach Mochama, so you would think now, okay, well, then the continuation of the Pesukim, where it says that a Kohen Gadol has to marry a Psula and can't marry an Amona, maybe that doesn't apply to the Mashuach Mohammed either. No, Talmud Loima, Vahu. No, therefore, the Pasuk continues, Vahu Isha B'Psula Yirkach. And the word Vahu is comes to be Marva, that it means also, that it comes to be Marva also the second time, also the Mashuach Mohammed. So that's it. So that's how we get there. For that, the Kohen Mashuach Mochama has some of these dinim that he doesn't become Tomei Mes, and he has to marry a Psula and not an Amona. But those five, because those are the five mentioned in the parasha of the Kohen Gadol, where we have the ribui either from the word Asher Yutzak Al Reisha Shemen Amishka or from the word Behu. Okay. So the Gemara says Kitanoi. This is actually a machloit that's Tanoim about this point. When it says when it says and he should marry a wife when she's a psula, so again, also Rabbi Shmuel says that's what I mean. The prophet first made a distinction, said that not all the dinim apply to a mashuach mochama. For example, you can't do makrivayin. Then it adds vahu in order to include him back in as far as a psula and an amana. That's what Rabbi Shmuel says. Rabbi Akiva says what we learn from it is as follows: If you only had the Uli of Pesukim, you would only know when it comes to a Kohen Gadol, when it comes to a real Kohen Gadol, not a Kohen Mashuach Mochama, even within the Kohen Gadol himself, there's a distinction because you have the time where he had to leave office temporarily because he became Tomei, and therefore, for example, he couldn't do the Avodah Yom Kippur. So then you would only know that he still has the dinim of a Kohen Gadol once he resumes office, once he becomes Tahor. Machmas Mumin Minayin, how do we know the same thing applies even if he develops a Mum, where he may never return to doing the Avodah? How do we know that he also has the mitzvah of marrying on the Yisola? Even after he has a Mum, right? The fact that at one time he was a Kohen Gadol means he still has the sin. Talmud Lema Vahu, therefore the Pasuk says Vahu. Meaning him also. So Rashi, right. So Rashi seems to learn, he doesn't spell it out in so many words, but Rashi seems to understand that Rabbi Akiva is not necessarily disagreeing with Rabbi Shmuel. He agrees with Rabbi Shmuel's drasha that these rules also apply to the Kohen Mashuach Mochama. He's just saying there's an additional thing you can learn from the word Behu also. And the Tosfos HaRosh says, how can you do that? How can you learn two dinim from one word? Because the whole word is extra. It's not just, in other words, you can learn from the vav, and you can learn from the whole word. The whole word is necessary. He could just say Ishav Uksavayu. The Tosfos HaRosh himself disagrees with that. He says that Rabbi Akiva is actually, Rabbi Akiva is actually disagreeing and saying you can only learn one Zerosha from it. I would say, not like you're saying the logic is to distinguish between the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Mashiach Mechama. The logic is to distinguish within Kohenim Golem themselves, where you have not only there's the difference that Machmas Kiria he will return and Machmas Mumma he won't, as Yaakov says. The other difference is if he's of a Machmas Keri, it's the other. He has the power to return to office. All he has to do is go to Mikveh and wait for Herev Shemesh. As opposed to a Mum, it's not in his power to clear up the Mum. So therefore you would think maybe he doesn't have to, and therefore the Pasuk tells us that nevertheless, even though he left office because of a mum, he still has the dinim that he has to marry a sola and can't marry an amun. Fine.
If the mum disappears,
if the mum disappears, he can come back. Yeah.
That's maybe why he has to keep marrying.
No, well, that's not why. Even if it's a mum that's going to be permanent, even if it's, you know, a limb, he lost a limb, for example. Yeah, it ain't growing back. But yeah.
Well, it could possibly.
Historically, by the way, actually you have Josephus talked about that at one point when Urdus was rising to power, one of the Hashmonaim, a number of the Hashmonaim were still left, and he gradually got rid of them over time. As I mentioned, Brother Pastor at that point, that he wiped them all out eventually. But anyway, it mentions over there at one point there was one of the older members of the Hashmonaim who had been Kohen Gadol off and on for many years. So at one point, Urdus actually cut off the guy's ears to make him possible from ever being Kohen Gadol again.
Urdus
was against the Hashmonaim. Yeah, he started out as an Eved of theirs, and eventually, over time, he managed to maneuver himself. Well, he wanted power, basically, and they were in his way. And essentially, that's what it came down to. Okay, anyway. Okay, Bamine Rava Mirav Nachman. Rava asked Rav Nachman as follows. Mashiach Shinet Stara. What if the Kohen Mashiach develops Tzaraas? So you have a Kohen Gadol, develops Tzaraas. Mahu ba'almana, would he be allowed at that point to marry an almana? Do we say midcha dochi or mifter potter? Do we say that he's midcha or do we say that he's potter? So Rashi explains that the question is midcha dochi or mifter potter means like this. Do we say that because he's Kohen Gadol, he's pushed off, he's removed from marrying an almana? So therefore, even after he leaves office, he's still, the dichui still exists. He was dochui before from marrying an amana. Therefore, he retains that status. Well, maybe it was only, it made him potter that he wasn't able to marry an amana. But now he's a mitzvah, he's not a Kohen Gadol anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe he should be mitzvah to marry an amana. Not necessarily. Well, maybe not. But the point still remains that while he's a mitzvah, he can't function as Kohen Gadol. He can't even enter. Yeah, maybe. He can't even enter. Never mind the business. He can't even enter the entire city of Yerushalayim. So the Tosfos HaRosh brings from the Ramah a somewhat different explanation of Midcha Dochi or Mifter Potter. Is it that we say that since, after all, even as a Mitzvah, he's not even allowed to have relations? The Gemara discusses elsewhere that a Mitzvah is not allowed to have relations. So do we say therefore? So now. Oh, no, no, never, never mind relations. Sorry, that's something else. No. Do we say that he's maybe we would say rather like this. He's mitchadochi, he's dochi, therefore fine. There's things, whatever he can't accomplish as Kohen Gadol, he can't do, but he still has the issur of Amana. Or is he potter completely from the dinim of Kohen Gadol and therefore he can marry the Amana? Is he a Kohen Gadol or not, basically? So loy have a biyode. So okay, Rav Nachman didn't know the answer. Zimin, another time, have a yosir of Papa become a biyode. Another time, Rav Papa was sitting and wondering about the same question. On the letter of Huna Breded of Nachman of Papa, so Rav Huna Breded of Nachman says to Rav Papa, Tanena, we can bring from a brisa. We just said before, Ein li she'ova machmas kiryo, we would say, Rav Akiva said, that you would only know that the dinim that apply to a Kohen Gadol only apply if he had to leave office because of keri, because of temporary condition. Ova machmas mumin minayin, where do we know even if he had to leave because of a mum? And tzaraas is definitely a mum. Minayin, how do we know the same din applies? We said that even from the word bahu, we still learn that he has to marry a sola and not a mana. So there you go. Even if he has tzaraas, which is a major mum, there's no bigger mum than that. Nevertheless, though, he still is also to marry an amana. He still has to marry a sola. So there's your answer. So Rav Papa was very impressed. Come Nashki Bereshit, he got up and kissed Rav Huna Bereder of Nachman on his head. But Yoav Leib Brachin married his daughter to him. You're supposed to marry your daughter off to a Talmud Chacham. He realized that this is a Talmud Chacham worthy of the name. Yeah. So that's again, I said. No, so it's not up to Jerusha. No, well, again, so according to Rashi, what it would be is Rabbi Akiva is saying there's two Jerushas you can learn from it, one from the Vav and one from the Word. The Tosfos HaRosh would say no. Rabbi Akiva is saying, never mind the difference between the Kohen Mashuach Mokama and the Kohen Mashuach, and between the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Mashuach Mokama. The Vahu is teaching us only a distinction within the Kohen, not a, that there's no distinction between Kohen and Golem themselves, whether they had to leave office because of Keri or because of a Mum. Either way, they can't marry an Amana, only a Pesula. So there you go, only one Jerusha.
If there had been a distinction, what would
Then Rabbi Akiva would, in other words, according to the Tosfos HaRosh, is disagreeing. He would say, well, if there was a distinction, we would have said that a Kohen She'ovah Machmas Keri can't marry an Amana, but a Kohen She'ovah Machmas Mum, where he's never going to return to office, or it's not Miyadi to return, maybe he's Purim. Mishnah continues. As we said before, Kohen Gadol Purim Milamasa, the Kohen Gadol, when relatives of his died, so he doesn't tear his clothes in the usual way, but he does tear underneath, as we'll see in a second what underneath means, the Hediyat Milamayla, a Kohen Hediyat tears from above. Another distinction, as we said before, Kohen Gadol Makriv Onan V'Loyochol, a Kohen Gadol can bring Korbanos while he's an Onan, but he can't eat from Korbanos as long as he's an Onan. But a Hediyat L'Makriv V'Loyochol, a Kohen Hediyat can't bring Korbanos when he's an Onan. In fact, if he does, he passes the Avoda, V'Loyochol, and he doesn't eat from the Korbanos. Okay, so what does it mean, L'Masa and L'Masa? Omer Rav, L'Masa means L'Masa Mamish, L'Masa means literally at the bottom. So in other words, most people, when they tear Kriya, is at the top edge of the garment. The Kohen Gadol, what he does is he tears the bottom edge. To symbolize the idea. He's not like everybody else. He's not going to become Tom and Mess like anybody else. But still, you know, he has to still show that there still is a relative of his diet. He still has to tear Kriya for that. But he does it from the bottom instead. No, not one of the big Dekohona. He's a big Dekohona you're not allowed to rip anyway. Right. No, but Pashtus, it means his own regular clothes, his own sweet clothes. Yeah.
What does he have as his
own? He has his own clothes. He wears the eight clothes of the Tangaro when he's doing that.
Not the Kohen Gadol's clothes, but underneath the
When he's wearing the Kohen Gadol's clothes, he's not wearing anything else. He's only wearing the eight clothes of the Kohen Gadol. He's not allowed to wear any other clothes, which I'm a little about in the doing that's a shame. But, so you can't rip the clothes of the Kohen Gadol. No, so you have to wear it. Changes. Yeah.
So it's only when
he
changes.
Yeah.
So when the morning and evening, we do that later.
No, the Kohen Gadol can do that. We just said the Kohen Gadol can do Avodah whenever he wants. There's Yom Kippur, he has to do the Avodah. Other than that, that's optional. Throughout the year, he could be doing the Avodah whenever he wants, but he doesn't have to.
Usually, they used to do it.
Sometimes they used to do it. I don't know. But I don't know if there was any particular schedule to it. Okay. So that's what Rav says. L'mata means l'mata mamish. L'mayla means l'mayla mamish. When it says l'mayla, means literally that the Kohen head yet tears. And l'mayla means literally at the top edge of the garment, like everybody else. Ushmul omer, no. Both of them are at the top edge, or near the top edge. The difference is lamata means lamata mikame sofa. Lamata means under the hem. Usually you have the top edge of a garment has a hem to keep it from tearing in the first place. You find by the me'il of the Kohen Gadol specifically that it was folded over to create a border over there, sofa yil afiv saviv. So therefore, it's a shmul explaining when we say lamata by a Kohen Gadol, it means you start from below that hem, from below that doubled over place, and you tear underneath it in the middle of the garment.
It shouldn't show up. It shouldn't show up.
No, maybe so. I don't know if it's so. It shouldn't show, but whatever. So show that it's different from everybody else. You don't divide the edge of the garment. You only tear in the middle of the back. Okay. And lamaila means lamaila mikame sofa. Lamaila for the Kohen Hediyot and everybody else means that you actually divide the edge of the garment. Vezev is evitaba, but Shmuel says both of them are near the neck. Not like Rav says that one of them is down near his feet. Okay. Like Moses says, Macy, the Gemara says, have a contradiction against Shmuel. A Braisa says, Akola Mason Kulam, when it comes to a person's relatives die, Rahman al Khan, for any other relatives other than his parents, Rasa Mavdo Kame Selfishalai, Rasa Any Mavdo Kame Selfishalai, he has an option whether to tear the edge of the garment or just to tear in the middle. When it comes to his father or his mother, he owes them more respect. There has to be a proper career for them. There he does have to actually tear the edge. So what are you telling me, Shmuel? The question is, so if that kind of thing usually can be considered kriya, then how is a kohen gadol allowed to do it? Kori tan gadol v'yitra. Doesn't that, isn't that, if a kohen gadol does that, the same kind of thing, not tearing the edge, but tearing in the middle, he's doing an actual kriya, and the pasuk says he shouldn't be doing kriya. So how does Shmuel make that work? The answer is Shmuel can rehodis, by the way. Shmuel holds like a rehoda, the Omar, where your rehoda disagrees with that, right? He says, no, kol kera she'enim abdol sofa shaloi, any time you do kriya, and you don't tear the actual edge, ena ela kriya shal tif, ena ela kera shal tif, that's just like a frivolous kera, it's not considered a real kriya. So your rehoda would disagree with the halacha is like him, yeah. No, the halacha actually is like the chachamim, technically, but nevertheless, nowadays, when people do kriya, they always tear the edge, but yeah. But Rabbi Yehuda is saying you have to do that. If you tear in the middle and you don't tear the edge, it's not a proper kriya. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda can be holding, therefore, that when by the kohen gadol, that's an exception. He will tear that type. And it won't be, and it won't, for anybody else, it's not a proper kriya. Therefore, he's not over on the god of Yifraim. And yet, he accomplished something symbolic for him. So the question is, will me is the Rabbi Yehuda kriya of a kohen gadol? Okay, but if you're telling me Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yehuda, does Rabbi Yehuda b'chlal hold that the kohen gadol ever does kriya? But I'll tell you, but we learn in another braisa. The pasuk says by the kohen gadol, roisho lo yifro gadol yifrim, his hair he should not grow long and his clothes should not tear. Now why does that have to say his? Who else are we talking about? So ilu nemer roish lo yifro vegad lo yifrim. If the pasuk hadn't said his hair, if the pasuk had just said a head or the hair of a head he shouldn't uncover and a garment he shouldn't tear, you would mistakenly think it doesn't mean his own hair and his own clothes. It would mean beroish or vegad shal soita. Maybe the pasuk is talking about that the kohen gadol is not allowed to be the one who uncovers the soita's hair or tears her clothes. We're learning now in soita, and we learned a few days ago in soita and during Sfira, that the soita is part of the ordeal over there. Her hair is uncovered and disheveled over there, and her clothes are ripped. So you would think if it only said roish lo yifro, beged lo yifro, it would mean that only a regular kohen should do that. The kohen gadol should not be ever the one doing that. No. So therefore, no. Talmud Lomar, therefore, Talmud Lomar, therefore, the pasuk says that's roish shoy lo yifro, or gadol lo yifro, it means his own. He could do it for the soita. In fact, the Yerushalmi actually says, the Yerushalmi says in that connection, in soita, how do they decide which kohen is going to do that? You know, you can't imagine that there are kohenim running forward to do such a disgracing thing to a woman. All the kohenim, any kohen can do it.
And you say,
So there is that idea that we have older ones do it, that way there's less of a problem of hearer. But the Rashami says actually what they would do is they make a goyel along the kohenim, and whichever one it came out, even if it was the kohen gadol, yeah, he walks over and does it. Okay. Anyway, so meaning she'enig kriyo prima kol ikur divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says that comes to teach us. Therefore, the kohen gadol does not do kriya, growing his hair, does not do prima at all. Period. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel says no. Any poem kedel shabnei adam poem. He doesn't do prima, meaning tearing his clothes, the way that people usually do it. But he still does it in his own way. Alohumi lamata behedyet ramayla. He does it below, and the hedyet does it above. So again, you're telling me Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yehuda that kriya is only if you tear the edge of the garment. But Rabbi Yehuda himself says the kohen gadol doesn't do kriya b'chlal. So who is Shmuel agreeing with? The answer is Shmuel stavol like Rabbi Yehuda b'chadu or poligale b'chadu. Shmuel can agree with Rabbi Yehuda in one detail, disagree with him in another, go like Rabbi Shmuel in the other detail. We have such things sometimes that an Amora can pick and choose. You have, though, that Amora is able to pick and choose.
Why would he pick and choose?
It's because that's how he holds. That's how he holds. That's how he learns from Rezabeim. That's how Sim Svara dictates. I once saw an interesting idea that said, Bechlal, usually why do we have Amoraim don't disagree with Tanoim? The reason might be because we never know with a din that a Tana says whether it really is Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai or whether it's something that they learned with the Yerjim Midr, so they learned from Svara or whatever. So what happens? That if you see that there's machloikas on something that Amma writes in Akhdama, so it's Pirush and Mishnayas, that halacha l'moshe misinai, there's never a machloikas on, therefore once there's a machloikas, we know it's not halacha l'moshe misinai. Therefore, okay, Shmuel can't disagree with both of them, but he's entitled to pick sides. He's entitled to pick sides. Okay. All right. So now from here on, I mean, we've actually really the last little bit, we've kind of been digressing from the main topic of Omer Sefta. We're done now with the dinim of Parabach Omer, so we started discussing the differences between a Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Hedyet and the differences between a Kohen Mesharach Mokama and Kohen Gadol. So now we're going to digress even further. We're going to talk, since we talked about the different kind of Kohenim, well, actually here, we're going to get back to the Pau now, but this is the last of it. We're going to talk about a din that we're going to discuss briefly over here, and in more detail we'll talk about it in Zvach, that's the same. Anything that's more that happens more often than something else comes first. The todur sheni, todur kodim, the famous thing. Also, anything that you have when something is holier than something else, or someone is holier than somebody else, as we'll see in the next Mishnah, then they come first. So you have another, there's todur and there's mekodesh. So when we learn in Zvachim, that's the Shem, we'll learn in the ninth, the tenth, I don't remember what number parak it is, Zvachim around that tzaddik. So in a few months' time, we'll learn in detail about how this works out when it comes to different korbanos, how we put todur ahead and how we put mekodesh ahead. When you have different korbanos that are going to be brought, what's the order of precedence? Para Mashiach or Para Edo.
So Kurdish is stronger than Tadi.
Well, we'll see over there. We'll see over there which one.
No,
we'll see over there which one wins out when they conflict. Yeah. Okay. Para Mashiach or Para Edo. We'll see actually a little bit of it in our Gemara as well. Para Mashiach or Para Edo. Then what happens if you have the Kohen Gadol has to bring his power and the Sanhedrin or the Tzibu have to bring their power at the same time? Which one comes first? Paramashiach, according to Para Eda, Bahomaisav, so that the Paramashiach comes ahead of the power of the Eda for all purposes. All of it is taken care of first, and then the one of the Sibyl. We'll see in the Gemara 1.
That's amazing.
We'll see. Where do we know this idea from of Kola Todir Mechaveri? Where do we know this idea of Todir Shani Todir, that Todir Kaidi?
You would say that the Para Eda is more Kurdish.
Hold on. Okay. So where do we know this from, this idea that Todur V'Shein is Todur Kodesh? Amar Abaya, Da Amar Kro, because you have a Pasuk says, the Pasuk says in connection with the Menachos, not the Menachos, the Musafim of Rosh Chodesh and the various Yom Tovim, it says, Milvad Ola Saboka Asher La Ola Satomid. It says, besides for the Ola of the morning, which is the Ola of the Tomid. So Lomali, so why does it have to add the word Mephiksib Ola Saboker? It says the Ola of the morning. We know the Ola of the morning is the Korban Tamid. Ola Satamid Lomali. Why does it have to add the word Ola Satamid? Hachokam Rachmana called it Dira Kodma. Therefore, by that, the Pasuk is telling us, because the Tamid is first, because the Tamid is more often, because it's every day, therefore it has to come first. And from there, we learn the concept of Todur V'Shein Todur Todur Todur.
Well, you could say it applies only to the Tamid.
Once it says it based, then we learn a binyan out from it for everything else. That's we learn, yeah. That's how a binyan out works. The Chachamim, we have the Ebishli gave Moshe Yudul Midas Shatter in the Dreshus Ben, and the Chachamim are expected to use it.
I was a couple
of Okay, then we said Bechalam Kodesh Mechaveru who Kodesh Chaveru. Then we said that anybody who's holier than somebody else comes ahead of him.
Even if you study a bit.
Well, that's it. Okay, Menolon, so where do we know that from? Because we learn in the Brayta and Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel says, when the Pasuk says about the Kohen, the Kiddashto, you should make him holy, means the Chodava Shabbat means for all purposes, the Kohen has to be, for any matter involving Kiddusha, the Shetoyach Risha and the Kohen is the one who gets the first Aliyah, Olavarech Risha, and you give him precedent, you give him preference when it comes to making a Mezuman, to leading pension, the little Manayach Risha, you give him a nice portion first. Actually, now it's interesting, it's not in all things nowadays do we do that. When it comes to Aliyah, yes, we give the Kohen first. And the reason is, actually, the Gaonim already discussed the question. Technically, the Gemara says elsewhere, and we're going to learn later on, the last Mishnah of Amos Sefer, we're going to learn that a Mamza Tamar Chacham comes even before Kohen Gadol Amaret. So if you have nowadays, in short, Kohen Amaret and a Yisrael Tamar Chacham, shouldn't the Tamar Chacham be getting the first Aliyah? And the Gemara in Gittin mentions that actually in those times they used to do that. However, the Gaonim talk about, we don't do that anymore.
The Talmid Chacham has more Kedusha than the Kohen.
In a certain sense, we'll see. Yeah, we'll get to that. The point, well, hold on. Because the fact is, because you learn Torah, and the Torah has Kedusha. But the question is, therefore, why nowadays do we always give the Kohen first, as long as he's in Shul, and we don't look for the greater Talmid Chacham? So there is a machlokus between the Gaonim and the Rishonim and whatever about the exact details. Basically, the idea is sort of Eva. Yeah, more that nowadays, it's going to be very hard to tell who is the actual greater Talmid Chacham. You're going to end up with arguments. I'm the greater one. No, I'm the greater one. So therefore, to keep Shalom, if they doubt his Shalom, they just said to give it to the Kohen all the time.
Oh, 1 second, you could then tell me about a lady in Israel.
Technically, yeah. But once you give the Kohen, then you're afterward. Then.
Now
but nowadays... Yeah, whatever. So therefore, so you just give the Kohen first and have done with it. But as far as the Levorech Risha, as far as the Levorech Risha and Neir Taka, it really only applies primarily if the Kohen got all the time at home. If he's an Amoritz, he doesn't necessarily get precedence as far as the Zoman. All right.
There's no requirement.
If he's not an Amoris, then you should offer it to him.
Requirement that a clone class cannot be an Amoris.
No, unfortunately, it can happen. He was talking about regular clone. It can happen. A clone is an Amoris.
Clone
God also. You had the clone Golem who died every year in the Kodesh HaKadosh. Yeah, unfortunately, it happened. You know, the Mishnah and Yomah, the Mishnah and Gemara and Yomah mentioned that the night of Yom Kippur, when they have to keep the clone God off. That, you know, if he knows how to read Tanakh or learn Gemara or whatever, then he would be doing it to keep himself awake. If not, then they would have to read and then and dash before them. So it happened.
Yes, we were learning six very fulfilled, and everyone was said, yeah, we put a chain around his foot and we go out. He said, it means that this is the year he died. You never saw a mocker that says
that he's not on the
front.
But he might be right that it means that they died sometime during the coming year. We do know of at least one example, actually, where it says that, like, as soon as he left the Kodesh HaKadosh, he was struck down by a mob. The Gemara told the story in Yoma, but maybe he's right, Taka, that maybe the Taka never died. Continues the mission. Power Kohen Mashuach or Power Edah. Although it says that our mission had said if you have the power of the Kohen Mashuach that has to be brought and the power of the Edah. So we said the power Kohen Mashuach is brought first. So Manani, really, where do we know that from? The Tanan Rabbanan, like this. We learn in a Braisa. Now, the Pasuk first describes the one of the Kohen Gadol and then the one of the Tzibur, which, by the way, is the opposite of the order we had in our Masechta, where first it dealt with the one of the Tzibur in the first Tzibur, and then we started dealing with the Kohen Gadol in the second Tzibur. But anyway. So the pasuk lists them in that order, but then so when it describes the one of the tzibur and it says the sarach oisek hashasarach of the parah rishon, it says you should burn it outside the machna after you're done with all the avodah, like you burnt the first one. So matamadlam harishon, what's the point of mentioning the first one? It already says the previous pasuk says that you do to whatever you did to the parachatas of the kohen gadol, you do to this one. So why does it have to now add that you do like you did to the first one? It means she hey Rishon Kodem a Para Eda b'chol Ma'aser. That means the pasuk is telling us the Para Kodem Mashiach is first before the other one. In other words, if they both have to be done at the same time, then the Para Kodem Mashiach comes first. That's where we learn the din of Onish. Okay, turn it up on him. So now we learn in a Braisa. Let's analyze that. We said Para Kodem Mashiach and Para Eda. That if you have the Kodem Mashiach's power and the Eda's power to be brought, we said Para Kodem Mashiach Kodem a Para Eda b'chol Ma'aser. So the Para Kodem Mashiach comes first. So we had a Xeris Akasa, but we have a logical reason. The logical reason is, since it's the Kohen Gadol who accomplishes the Kapara by bringing the Korban, by doing the Avodah of the Korban, the Edom is Kapara, and it's the Edom, the congregation and the Sanhedrin, that receives the Kapara. Dino, she yachtem a Mechapa, the Mechapa. It's only logical that the Mechapa should get his Kapara first.
It has nothing to do with Kedusha.
Well, right. I mean, we're mentioning it because it's another example where we have one.
How do we derive from that Kedusha comes?
No, we said before, because we're Kedashta. And therefore, Kohen comes ahead of everybody else because Kohen has greater
tradition.
That's a different thing. You know what I'm talking about? Different ginnim. The Mishnah put them together because it's a similar kind of thing where we put one ahead of the other. But it's here it's not to the tradition.
It seems to contradict.
No,
it's
not
contradict.
No, because
it's logical, but it seems to contradict.
Why does it contradict? The Tzibur does not have more.
Because Kedusha, we said, comes first. And here we say
fine, but
the Eda has more Kedusha than the
Kohen. Who says the Eda has more Kedusha than the Kohen Gadol? Where do you get that then?
The Jewish people.
Okay, but he's the Kohen Gadol.
How can he have more Kedusha than the Jewish people?
Because he goes into the Kodesh HaKadosh, I don't know. V'chein, I don't know. V'chein hu oimer, and so also we see another example of that when it comes to Avodah of Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol brings his korban first, v'chipa ba'adoi, and then uva'ad beisoi, he makes kapara for himself, then for his household, the Kohenim, and then uva'ad kokal Yisrael. So therefore, it's only logical over here, same thing. Okay. Continues the Braisa. Here's more things where one comes ahead of something else. What if you have parhelam davashot tibur, kodim l'parashal avodah kachavim? That is brought ahead of the power that has to be brought for Avodah Zarah. Where we said, okay, so like this. Imagine you have, let's say, the Sanhedrin mistakenly paskin on two different things. They paskin that a certain kind of chaylev is mutter, and most of the people followed it. They also paskin that Avodah Zarah, a certain kind of Avodah Zarah is mutter, and most of the people followed it. We said for the chaylev, they're going to be bringing a power. For the Avodah Zarah, they're going to be bringing a power plus a soil. Now, the difference... Because that's the difference. That's what the pasuk says. One is in Vayikra, one is what? Because they're different. Because the Torah singles out in Parshas and Parshas Shlach that Avodah Zarah is special. The difference is that the parahel of Davashal Tzibur is a chatos. The power that's brought for Avodah Zarah, you're going to have the power is going to be an ola and the soyer is going to be a chatos. So which one? So between these two parim, which one comes first? You have one is a chatos, one is an ola. So the one, parhelam davashal tibur kodim or parashal avedas kachavim. The one for the regular avedas, which is chelim, comes ahead of the par, which is an ola for avedas zara. My timer, why is that? High chasas for high ola, because the one for the other avedas, such as chelim, is a chasas. The one in connection with avedas zara is an ola. The tanya, and you learn in a brayse that a chasas always comes ahead of an ola. When the pasuk says v'hikri v'et asher lachasas, that's what the pasuk says. Wait. The pasuk says v'hikriv et asher lachatas rishona. The pasuk says that when you have a person is bringing a kohen ola v'yored, in the case where he brings two birds, one is a chatas and one is an ola, the pasuk says that the kohen should do the avoda of the one that's for the chatas first. The matam abayma. So what is the word rishona come to teach us? Im lamach techat rishona. Does it just mean exactly what it sounds like? The chatas is the one done first. The next pasuk is the second one you should bring as an ola. If the second one is an ola, obviously the first one is a chasa. You need to spell that out. Ela zev bona av, so it means by saying the word rishona, it creates a binyan av. It means whenever you have a chasa and an ola that are being brought together, then it means that the chasa always comes ahead of the ola.
From this binyan av. The binyan av again is
that it says rishona
generalization of
yeah that it says one problem. It says when one sets something in one place in the Torah and we generalize it to other similar binyan. That's a binyan av. So the kaimalon, and we know for a fact that people chatas the oif kademus la'olas behema. Not only that, even if you have the chatas as a bird and the ola is an animal, you would think an animal is much more important. You should bring it first. Even then, the chatas comes first. So now, the Rosh says that this means in other words, let's say you have two different people are bringing their korbanos at the same time. Reuven is bringing a bird as a chatas, and Shimon is at the same time bringing an animal as an ola. You still put the bird first.
Because
that's what we're saying. The chatas comes first. So the Rosh explains it's not even when they come together. It's even not only when they come together as a unit, like one person is bringing both. It means even when two different people are bringing them. Actually, it's interesting. The Rosh uses an expression that by one person you don't find that they should be bringing a chatas of a bird and an ola of an animal together, but a number of achronim acts on the Rosh that we do find by a yeledes, by a woman who gave birth. The pasuk says that if she's well off, if she's rich, she brings exactly that of a sheep as an ola and a bird as a chatas. So there you have actually an example where a person brings a chatas and an ola. One's a bird, one's an animal, and we still say the chatas, the bird comes first. Yeah. Okay, continues the braisa. And the logic behind it, I don't remember who says this, but the logic behind it, maybe the Gemara talks about it in Tzvachim, I don't remember, is because the chatas is meant like to clean up things first, like surmeira. The ola is meant like a present to Hashem, so like the raseita. So surmeira, first you have to get rid of the avera before Hashem is going to be willing to accept the gift of an ola, so to speak.
It's a higher form of avera.
In that sense, I guess, yeah. What about when it comes within the korbanos for the Sanhedrin making a mistake in avodah zarah and the people following it? So we said again, there's a par which is brought an ola and a sur which is brought as a chatas. Which one is brought first? There, the par comes ahead of the sur. The question is, am I a chatas or a ola? The sur is a chatas, the par is an ola. We just said a chatas always comes before an ola. Why is it backwards here? Amri b'ma'a Rava m'shmei the Rava b'amori. So they said in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, in the name of Rava b'amori, the reason is chatas haveres chav chasira alef, l'chatos chasir. Because by this case, in Parashat Shlach, when it talked about this korban for mistaken avodah zarah, it says that you bring it for a chatas, but the word chatas is missing an alef, to imply that this chatas is missing something from the usual kind of thing of chatas. Instead of being first, like usual, it's second. That's what it is.
So when you want to say he's first, you put an alpha.
You would put an alpha.
You take the alpha.
I guess. Rava Amar. Rava says here's a different reason. You don't need the difference in spelling. The reason is kamishvat, because the pasuk says you should do it kamishvat, and kamishvat means according to the law, meaning exactly as it's written. So therefore, it means it has to be in the pasuk. It lists them in that order. In other words, in the pasuk, it lists them in exactly that order: first the par, then the sur. So the word kamishvat says Rava teaches us, never mind the aleph that's in or not in chasas. The fact that it says kamishvat means you have to do them exactly in that order.
So that second opinion, what's the aleph meant to? Why is it gone?
So he would say different. He would say he's doubting something else from it. I don't know. Yeah.
What?
He ran out of ink.
Yeah.
right. Another din. Sora versus Chavim Kodim or Sora Nasi. What about if you have at the same time there needs to be brought a Sora for Avodah Zarah, which is as we just said at the Chassos, and you have at the same time the king accidentally ate Chalev and has to bring his own carbon. So the one of Avodah Chavim comes ahead of the one of the Nasi. My time.
Sora is always a Chassos, or sometimes it's an Ola also.
A Sora could be an Ola. You can bring an Ola, and you can bring, if you bring a voluntary Ola, it can be any of the three kinds of animals.
But an obligated
Ola. But an obligated Ola. An obligated oila is usually going to an obligated oila is not usually going to be a goat. I mean, in the case of the korban sibur, the oila is a porim and elim and kvotim. Usually a story was reserved for hatsaris. Right. Yeah. Okay. So rabbi is the korban kodim was sorry nasi. So the one that's brought by the sibur for rabbi dezara comes ahead of the one for the nasi. My time or why? High sibur, high yachid. One the sibur, one the yachid. The sibur comes ahead of the yachid.
So then, if that's the principle, that's the question we were asking before.
Fine, but again, we said there's a logic on the other hand. The machaper comes ahead of the miskaper. So that overrides that. It's not really a question of kedusha. It's a question of normally, yes, the sibur should come ahead of the yachid, but the machaper has to come ahead of the miskaper. If you have the king has to bring his sorrow and an individual person has to bring at the same time a chassos, where he's bringing the female goat. So there's the one of the Nasi comes ahead of the yachid. My time, I melech v'hayedit, because one's a king, one's a hayedit, and the king comes to the yachid. Okay, we still have to spell it out. Se'iras yachid kodemus kibsas yachid. What if you have two people are bringing korbanos chassos? One is bringing a female sheep, one is bringing a female goat, the other is bringing a female sheep. Which one do we do ahead? They're both hatsaris. They're both yechidim. Which one takes precedence? So the goat comes ahead of the kibsas. Yeah. The question is, v'altanya kibsas yachid kademus yisibas yachid. We learn in another bright, it's the other way around. The kibsas comes first.
Which one's the question? Can you draw a line?
That's the answer. Amar Abaye Tanoi. Abaye says, actually, machalot is Tanoi. Marsov se'ira adifa. One holds that the se'ira is more important. Shekin nisrav se'ito averis kechavim b'yachid. Because you find, when it comes to a yachid, if he worships Avodah Zarah b'shogeg, he always has to bring a se'ira. Unlike the usual case of a chatas, chelev, Shabbos, what have you, where it could be either a sheep or a goat. When it comes to Avodah Zarah, it must be a goat. Therefore, in that sense, we see there's a certain chashivos to a goat over a sheep. Oh, Marisava, where the other Braitha holds Kibsadifa. On the other hand, the sheep has an advantage. She can strab to Baalya because it has an extra part of it is brought on the Mizbeach. The fat tail of it is brought, the famous Alya, is brought on the Mizbeach.
Couldn't you apply here the principle of Tamid? A seer is more Tamid than a Kibsa.
Says who? Just because it's brought from a disorder, that doesn't make it Todir. Todir means something that happens more often. The story of a disorder, it could happen. It's not necessarily something that ever happens.
You said the chatas is most of the time it's there.
Fine, but nevertheless, the fact remains, and oil and sheep are brought every day as a carbon tonic. I mean, in aggregate, the number of it. Okay, that doesn't matter. Todir b'sheinu todir means things in time-wise that are brought more often. The Talmud, for example, is brought more often than the Musafim or whatever. We're not talking about things where there's no particular time for, where, yeah.
So I mean, it has to be with
time. It's twice a day, yes, twice a day, in the morning and in the evening, yes.
So then there's no time, there's no union of time.
Then it's not necessarily an union of time, no. Continue the bride. So Omer Kodim Lakeves Haboim, the Omer, the Korban Omer, is brought ahead, or is brought, or is dealt with ahead of the sheep that comes with it. And when they brought the Korban Omer, the barley flour of the Korban Mincha in the Bismithish on the second day of Pesach, they also brought with it a Keves, a sheep as an Ola. So the Omer comes ahead of comes ahead of the sheep. Because the sheep, as we're going to say in a second, because the sheep itself is only being brought because of the omer. So it's like the omer is the more important thing, and the sheep is like a secondary thing to it. Similarly, she'alechem kodim l'kvotim aboyim imayim. Similarly, the she'alechem is brought ahead, I'm sure it is brought ahead of the sheep that are brought as the shalmei tzibur together with them. Zachlal, the general rule, is davar abav din l'yoyim, something that's brought because of the day itself, namely the Omer or the Shea Lechem, Kodim Ladova, Abba Begin Lechem, goes ahead of something. Begin means because of. Begin Layem means because of the day. In other words, you have a Chiyuv on this day to bring a certain carbon, such as the regular Mustafim, or such as the Omer, etc. So those come ahead, Ladova, Abba Begin Lechem, ahead of things that come for the sake of the Lechem. In this case, again, the sheep is only brought if you have an Omer. The two sheep for the Shizir Chesham Tzibur are only brought if you have Shea Lechem. Therefore, the Omer and the Shtei Lechem come ahead of them because they're the Iker and the other are more the top of them.
So that seems to be perfect.
No, how is it? Again, both of them are Torah. They're both brought on the second day of Pesach. They're both brought on Shavuos. But the, one is
Mochash,
one is Korban. No, so the Korban was brought as flour. They ground up the barley, they mixed it with oil like most Korban Menachos, they put Bavoina on it, and they offered it.
That was Pesach.
That was the second day of Pesach. Shavuos was the Shtei Alechem, which we made Chol.
That was made
from wheat flour.
No,
it was made, no.
Which one had the very the
quality
was a whole new different
Geresh. Oh, so you have, no, so the Korban Omer is brought from Geresh caramel, but Geresh is actually the highest quality of barley flour, just like by regular Korban Omer is brought from soil. The difference is barley as opposed to most Menachos are wheat. You have the explanation of Siddurs that we start off at the beginning of Sphere, you start out like a behemoth, and eventually over time, as you're preparing for Shavuot, you're supposed to transform yourself into an Adam who eats wheat.
So
that's what barley first and later on wheat, yeah.
Yes, on Pesach.
Wait a minute, on Pesach, we can eat masa made out of barley. Practically speaking, they don't chit, we chit, but you could make masa out of any of the chamesh aminim. I've never seen barley masa, but you know, you have people who can't eat gluten or whatever, who have oat masa and spelt masa and whatever. Yeah. Okay, continuing on this topic of kolam kodesh mechaveh de kodem as kavir. So the Mishnah continues, ha'ish kodem la'isha. A man comes ahead of a woman because a man has, in a certain sense, more kedusha because he has more mitzvahs. Lahachyos, as far as keeping him alive, which means, in other words, as it can mean as far as saving his life. It doesn't mean, by the way, actually, Mephoshim points out, it doesn't mean as far as giving him tzedakah, because actually the Gemara mentions elsewhere that no tzedakah when they're both hungry, a woman actually comes first because she has greater kusha.
What?
Is that we learned in Kesubas a couple of years back. No, that's a different thing. No, you're right. It's just as far as Yerushalayim, but Basra, that's a different. Right. But that's a different issue. But here we're talking about Lahachyos, that's to save their life. You have two people that are drowning, Rahman al-Flan. You can only save one of them, and the other before you have to save one of them first. Which one? So the Mishnah is saying the man ahead. Or Lahoshav Aveda, also as far as Ashavas Aveda. For the same reason, again, because his time in a certain sense is more valuable because he uses his time to do more mitzvahs.
She loves many mitzvahs too.
Fine,
but why do we say she does less
mitzvahs? We're not saying the fact is women are higher in less mitzvahs than men, right? Women are
higher in less mitzvahs.
Okay, women have
the mitzvahs that they have are very, very fine.
That's very true, but on the other hand, women don't have mitzvahs that they as man groma, men do.
Because they have more kedusha.
That may be. I mean, you have such explanations, but you have such explanations that they're closer to Hashem. They need fewer mitzvahs to actualize it. You have it. The fact remains, as a bottom line, the fact is, a man has more mitzvahs that grants him a certain greater degree of kedusha. Yes. Okay. I know you're asking because whoever has greater kedusha comes first. What we're saying is for this purpose, we're saying yes, maybe in Esim Inyan, maybe in Olam Asel Yoinim or whatever, a woman has greater kedusha and comes from a higher level than the Kavod HaSlav and brother and all that, very nice, but down to earth right now, a man has more mitzvahs than a woman, and therefore he comes ahead.
Kedusha is measured by the number of mitzvahs
you're able to accomplish.
Not the importance of the mitzvahs.
I guess so, yeah. They're important. Are we the ones to decide which mitzvahs are more important? Yeah. But Isha Kedemis Lish, on the other hand, a woman comes ahead of a man, Lekasus, as far as clothing, if they both are needy, if they're both poor and they need clothing, the woman comes first, again, because her busha is greater, or Lahotim Beit Hashli, and also to release her from prison, because the woman is more likely to be raped over there. On the other hand, if the situation is that either one of them is going to be raped, where they're going to do Mishka B'zacha with a man, then the man goes ahead of the woman, because for him it's a completely unnatural thing. So therefore, so it's a greater bazillion for him. It's a completely unnatural.
The only criteria?
Yeah, that's what we're saying.
Both of them.
Okay. So his point is that nowadays, unfortunately, you have many people who don't. Okay, never mind. Okay, fine. Turn it up on him. We learn in a braisa. Let's expand on this. If you have a person himself and his father and his rebbe are all in captivity, which one do you take care of first? Who kodem l'rabba? So he goes ahead of his rebbe. He should arrange to get himself out first. That way he's in a position to be able to help them.
A man who's father and his rebbe.
Yeah.
He goes first.
But rabbi, so in other words, if he only has, let's say, enough money to get one of them out of jail, then he goes does himself first. In general, we say chayecha kodem.
Same with Monsieur Nefesh?
I don't know. But rabbi kodem l'aviv, and his rebbe goes ahead of his father. because the Gemara mentions elsewhere. Zeva brings him to Olam Haba, and his father brings him in Bava Metzia, at the end of Olam Metzia. His father brings him to Olam Hazeh, and his Zeva brings him to Olam Haba. So you have at the end of Olam Metzia, it talks about in a similar vein, as far as if you have a Hashavas Aveda to do, you have your father's Aveda, and you have your Rebbe's Aveda, that your Rebbe's Aveda comes first, unless your father is your primary teacher of Torah, and then your father comes first. Imoi kodemus lekulam, but the Braisa says his mother comes ahead of all of them, again because there's greater busha for her, that she's in captivity, there's more likely that she's going to be raped or otherwise
she comes before
so she comes even before him.
And before him.
Even before him, yeah. Chacham kodem lemalach Yisrael. What if you have the chacham and a melach Yisrael who are in captivity or whatever or otherwise in trouble, the chacham gets precedence. And the logic is, Chacham Shemeth Emon Kayyus, right? If a Chacham, if a Tamat Chacham passes away, there's nobody like him again. And yes, you may have the other Tamat Chachamim, the Zarah HaShemesh, or Vah HaShemesh, but still, it'll take time until the new one is ready to take the place of the old one. And every person has their own unique approach to Torah. No Tamat Chacham is ever completely replaceable by somebody else, because the other person is going to have another approach. On the other hand, Melech Yisrael Shemeth. Look, in principle, any of the Jewish people are suitable for kingship. Yes, we're talking about. Okay, but even among born Jews, we're talking about. So Melech Yisrael, by definition, is not going to be a Ger. We're talking about he's an actual king. So therefore, if a Melech Yisrael dies, fine. In principle, a person from any other shape could become a king. Yes, it's supposed to be Malchus based up and all that. But we discussed before, you have Malchus of Aseret HaShavatim that was supposed to last for a period of time. So therefore, in other words, the Melech is more replaceable than the Kohen.
A Kohen cannot be a Melech.
So, so actually, we know historically, of course, the Chashminoim were.
Exactly. And
the Rabban says very sharply against them. The Rabban says in Parashas Vayechi very sharply against them that they had no business doing it, and that's why in the end, Herodas wiped them out.
So why do you say Kohen Yisrael?
Fine, Kohen Yisrael, but still.
They're in the Malchus.
Okay, but they're suitable for temporary kingship, maybe. In their case, they were thinking of it as temporary, whatever. And besides, Kohen Yisrael means the Jewish people collectively means, in other words, again, the Melech is more replaceable. The Melech can be replaced by anybody from the 12 tribes. Fine, never mind the Kohen, but at least you can say that he's more replaceable than the Tamar. Melech Kodem Kohen Gadol. And here again, we're not just talking about Bechlal when it comes to saving their lives or whatever. Bechlal, we're talking about when it comes to precedence. We're talking about like who we give more cover to ahead of the other or whatever. So Melech Kodem Kohen Gadol, the king comes ahead of the Kohen Gadol. Shenem, Rav Yomer HaMelech Lahem. The king, David HaMelech, says to them when you have the whole thing over there where Adon Yohu is trying to seize the kingship. Adon Yohu, David's eldest, is his oldest living son. This is the beginning of Melechim. So David tells them, take with you the servants of your master and go anoint Shlomo. And by the servants of the master, he mentions who he wants sent, and one of them is Tzadik, the Kohen Gadol. So we see that the Kohen Gadol is considered like a servant relative to the king. So therefore, the king comes ahead of the Kohen Gadol.
We mentioned that previously.
Yeah. Kohen Gadol kodem l'navi. The Kohen Gadol comes ahead of the Navi. Shenemo Moshe Chosei Shem Tzadik HaKohen V'Nasan HaNavi. Because in those psukim it continues that David gives instructions that Tzadik HaKohen and Nasan the Navi should anoint Shlomo as the new king. So we see Hikdim Tzadik or Nasan. So you see that Tzadik is listed ahead of Nasan, implying that the Kohen Gadol comes ahead. V'Omer, and you have another passage to prove that same point. You find in Zechariah, in the Nebuah of Zechariah, it's in the Torah for Baha'u'llah Yitzchah and for Shabbos Hanukkah, Shema no Yeshua HaKohen Gadol, listen now Yeshua HaKohen Gadol, he's the first Kohen Gadol, the second Mishnah Mikdash, after Videi Echav HaGomer, you and your friends, so it lists him ahead of his friends, and so okay, Yochel had Yotis on you, so he would say, so what, his friends are at Yotis, no big deal about them.
Right.
No, these were Talmud Lema, the Pasuk finishes off, Ki Anshei Moifei Tema. These are people of Moifes. These are people of Nissim. These other people who are standing with him at the time, they're in Moifes of a Navi, and the word Moifes refers to a Navi. Because the Pasuk describes only a false Navi who gives you an oath to a Moifes, implying therefore, so Anshe Moifes came, and these people with you are Nevi'im, and still were saying, after Vereyacha, you, Kohen Gadol, go ahead of them. So we see that the Kohen Gadol goes ahead of the Navi. So
wait a minute. The Nevi'im used to be Israel.
So
they come after the
Kohen Gadol. Mamla Tamakoth and Kohen Gadol Amoris. Yes, the Kohen Gadol was an Amoris.
That's different, but
okay.
In general.
No, but fine. So actually, the Rosh points over here, why we need two Pesukim, he says, like, in the time of the first Beis Hamikdash, the Kohenim Golem, for the most part, were Nevi'im as well. They had the Urim V'Tumim, they had Ruach HaKodesh. They had to have Ruach HaKodesh to understand what the Urim V'Tumim are saying. So you have to be able to rearrange the letters properly. So therefore, there's no Chiddush, therefore, that they go ahead of the Navi. Of course, he has both advantages, and Navi only has the one. Besides, by the way, there were Nevi'im over Kohenim, by the way. But yeah, I don't remember. Yeah, Shmuel was a lady, but I don't remember. But you had, I think.
Hey, so we learned that know, if you went up, it sounds like that the Kohen Gadol should be before the king. Yet before the king, yet the Kohen Gadol has to be, the perceived to be a Kohen Gadol is greater, the smartness and the know.
All true, but nevertheless, based on the Sukkim over here, we're saying that the Melech has nobody outgab of it, nobody higher than him other than Hashem, and therefore the Kohen Gadol has to be subservient to him. But actually, so the Rosh continues, the verse is in the second Beit HaMikdash, where they didn't have the Urim B'Tumim, was also one of the things that was hidden away. So therefore, the Kohenim Gadolim then are not necessarily Nevi'im. You would think maybe they don't go ahead of a Navi. Therefore, this Pasuk from the second Beit HaMikdash proves that not.
Right.
The Kohen Gadol always goes ahead of the Navi. Right. The mission, the Braisa continues, Moshuach b'shemen ha-mishcha kohenim l'meruba b'gadim. The Kohen Gadol who was anointed with shemen ha-mishcha comes ahead of the meruba b'gadim, again, for all purposes. Now, you have the question, and a number of the Mephoshim ask, how do you ever have, at the same time, a Moshuach Muhammad and a meruba b'gadim anyway? We just said that there was a period until when they anointed them. There was a period after which they were meruba b'gadim. The pastures, they never overlapped. So what is it? So the Rosh talks about a couple of possibilities. One is, let's say, one of them, he brings an interesting thing from one of the Balei HaTosfos, sort of Moshe Me'ivra. He says, let's say, for example, we did say before that a temporary Kohen Gadol, eventually, once the regular Kohen Gadol resumes office, then the temporary Kohen Gadol leaves office and he can never serve as Kohen again. However, he says that would only be if it was like a one-day thing, like he said over there with Yosef and Aylin, who served as Kohen Gadol for one day on his Kippur because the previous Kohen Gadol was temporarily possible. But if you have, let's say, the previous Kohen had to leave office because, let's say, a temporary mum where it took him 6 months to heal or something, and meanwhile this other guy has been in office for 6 months, then you're not going to say afterwards you're going to depose him at the end of 6 months and let the old Kohen Gadol resume. So then, no, he doesn't say an amount. The point is, like, there's a difference between temporary and between short term and long term. So we said before, if it was only a one-day thing and he served as Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, then he can't serve as a Kohen Gadol or a Kohen Hedges. We said a Kohen can't serve as
a longer time.
But if it's a longer time, Mr. Moshe Me'ivra is arguing, then you leave him as Kohen Gadol. Once he was there for longer term to begin with, then you leave him. So there you have an example where you can have, there again, so let's say the last Kohen Mashuach was sick or something and had to leave office for a long period of time. So somebody else took over. By now, this is after Yoshio hit the Shemin HaMishcha, so therefore this new one of the Merubah got him. He's going to remain in office because he served for more than just one day, so for a long period of time. There you have an example. You can have a Mashiach Mochama and a Kohen Mashiach and a Merubah got him living at the same time.
They're both
in a certain sense Kohen and Gadol. One is the early one is the old Kohen Gadol, one is the new one. And we're saying therefore the Mashiach comes ahead, even though he's not serving currently as Kohen Gadol, comes ahead of the Merubah B'Gadim, even though he is currently serving.
With regard to
saving their life, yeah.
What about the
Yom Kippur, the one who's currently serving, is going to be the one who does that right now. Which would be the one Merubah B'Gadim, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we said in the Mishnah that either one could serve. If the other one does serve on Yom Kippur, it is Yosef. The mitzvah has been accomplished.
Moshe Me'ivra was about
to serve. Moshe Me'ivra was one of the Balei HaTosfos.
Ivra,
I don't know how it's pronounced nowadays, E-V-R-E-U-X, yeah, the city in France. Yeah.
It's a northern house.
Right. Yeah, most of the Balei HaTosfos live there. Okay, anyway. Merubah B'Gadim Kodim Mashiach Sha'avah Machnas Kiri. Yeah, Merubah B'Gadim comes ahead of a Kohen Mashiach who had to leave office temporarily because of Keri. Mashiach Sha'avah Machnas Kiri Kodim Mo'avah Machnas Mumay. And a Kohen Mashiach who had to leave because of Keri, which is a one-day thing, comes ahead of a Kohen Mashiach who had to leave because of a Mum, which is a longer-term thing, yeah. And again, as we said before, as the Rosh said before, Keri, he has B'Yada in his hand to make himself taller by going to the Mikvah. Mum is not, right? In turn, he comes ahead of Mashuach Mochama. Mashuach Mochama Kodim Sigan comes ahead of the deputy Kohen Gadol, the one who's there to substitute to assist the Kohen Gadol and to substitute for him on Yom Kippur if necessary. Sigan Kodim Amarfo, and the
Sigan is also a Sigan to the Kohen Mochama?
No, he's a Sigan for the Kohen Gadol. But the Mashuach Mochama comes ahead of him. Because after all, the Mashuach Mochama was anointed with Shemin HaMishcha, the Sigan, isn't it?
So has to take over.
It's not a question of who has to take over. It's a question of, let's say, we have both of them are coming into or are about to enter a room and we have to honor them. Which one do we honor first? Which one comes first as far as saving their life? Which one comes first as far as giving them tzedakah, etc.? Sgan Kohen Amarko, the Sgan, the deputy Kohen Gadol, comes ahead of the Amarko. So the Gemara interjects, my Amarko, what is an Amarko? Omar Chista, Omar Koyla, it's short for the words, Omar Koyla, he says everything. The Amarko are the high-level officials of the Beit HaMikdash. You have, we're going to say now, there's the Gizbar, or the treasurers of the Beit HaMikdash. Above them, you have the Amarko. And above them, actually, the Gemara is not listing over here, but elsewhere, the Gemara talks about, you had a higher level above the Amarko called Kati Kurlin, or Kati Loikin. You had the Kati Loikin, almost like the chief financial officer of a company. The Amarko was like the person below that, as the vice president of whatever. And then the Gizbarim are the actual people who oversee the day-to-day business affairs of the Bismarck.
Will you finish it?
Yeah, we'll get to the end. Yeah, give me a minute. We'll get to the end of the Gemara there. Yeah. Amarko Kodim LeGizbar. Gizbar Kodim LeRosh Mishmar. The Gizbar comes ahead of the head of the Mishmar, the 24 Mishmaris. Each one had one person appointed to oversee the Mishmar. Rosh Mishmar Kodim LeRosh Beis Av. He comes ahead of the head of the Beis Av, where each Mishmar was divided into six or seven Batei Av, where each one served one day in the Mishmar. Rosh Beis Av Kodim LeKohen Hedyos, and the Rosh Beis Av comes ahead of the Kohen Hedyos. So you always had these eight gradations under the Kohen Gadol all the time. You always had
the Mishmar was their tenancy, or not?
Yeah, it was appointed for life down there. And the Rosh Beis Av also, but still there. Okay. So now we have a question. When it comes to, fine, we're talking about as far as covered, we're talking about as far as keeping them alive, etc. What about as far as tumah? If you have a gan and a mashuach mochama are walking down the street and they find a meth mitzvah, for example, which one should become tumah and which one should not? If this gan and the mashuach mochama are walking on the road, or pogabeh meth mitzvah, and they meet up, they encounter a meth mitzvah, mutav shi tamis mashuach mochama, better that the mashuach mochama should become tamis, va'al yitamis gan, rather than the gan should become tamis. Even though we said before the mashuach mochama is more important than the gan, but as far as tuma, the mashuach mochama should be the one to become tamis. Why? Because the Sagan is supposed to be there in case the Kohen Gadol becomes Tame or becomes Bottle. So therefore he has to make more sure to keep himself Tame. So the question is, Tani Mashroch Mochama Kohen Sagan, but we learn in another Bryce that the Mashroch Mochama, we just learned before that the Mashroch Mochama comes first, he's more important. Amar Ravina, Kitanya Hilach Yosef, you're right, that Bryce means as far as keeping him alive, as far as giving him tzedakah, as far as saving his life, but not as far as Tumah, right?
Because he's always...
And that's all. Gan always has to be ready. He may be called on at any time to fill in for the Kohen. No, the Pashto's not. I mean, if it happens, it's not meant to happen. I mean, it's meant to be. It's Mashroch Mochama's job is to make the announcement before wartime. Fine, he's very important to the Jewish people. He's the officer in charge of morale, basically. But on the other hand, for him, Truma is not such a big deal. Well, it's also true, right? But then it was. Mochama hopefully didn't happen that often. I don't know. I mean, it's possible even if it was coming, maybe he could still do his job. I don't know.
Probably could.
I don't know. Good question. I don't know. Thank you, everyone.